Thanksgiving Praise, an exposition of Psalm 145. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, November the 24th, 2013.
Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your mercies and grace, your kindness to us. And Father, as we look back, we're grateful for the blessings of the past year, and we do recognize that all good and perfect gifts come from you. And Father, I pray that you would give us grateful minds and hearts this week. I pray that this holiday season would be a time in which we really give careful thought and careful attention to your mercies. That we would take the time to reflect and to be grateful. Father, bring to our minds all that you've done for us. Illumine our understanding that we might praise you. And Father, I pray that as we open the scripture tonight, that you would be gracious and merciful to us and reveal yourself to us again, that we might praise you. Be our teacher now, we pray, through your Spirit, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's a day for feasting and a day for celebrating. It's a time for giving thanks, and it's a time for remembering. My question to you is, as you look back this week and give thought to the last year, what is it you're going to be thankful for? As you look back over the last year, as you look back at the last 12 months and the things that you've gone through, the things your family has endured, the things that have happened on your job, the thing that's happened in culture in general, when you look back over the last year, what's going to cause your heart to sing? Now, Scripture's clear. I referred to this morning. We are commanded to give thanks in all things. And again, that's relatively easy as we're commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5, because that means even in the most difficult and trying time of my life, I can find something in the midst of that to be thankful for. For instance, if I go to the doctor and he says it's malignant, I can be thankful in that because God has promised his presence, because God has promised he would never leave me or forsake me. When I'm going through that trial, I can be grateful in that experience because of all the promises of God. But also in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, we're commanded to give thanks for all things. Now, it's relatively easy for me to give thanks in the circumstance of a bad diagnosis. It's a little more difficult to give thanks for that bad diagnosis. But that's what the life of faith is all about. To recognize that when we say God is sovereign, we mean that he really is sovereign, that he really does rule over all things, and that for his own purpose and for his own glory, he has allowed this difficult time to come to my life because he wants to do something in it. We are called to rejoice and give thanks both for the good and for the bad, both for the great and the small, for the victory and for the defeat. There's no question when we read the scripture, Old and New Testament, that we as the people of God are called to cultivate a grateful heart, that we among all people ought to be the most grateful, that we ought to be marked by, characterized as a people who genuinely give thanks, a people who genuinely, honestly, faithfully, and consistently are grateful. Because our God has been good to us. We are to be a grateful people. And the reason for that is we recognize that all that we are and all that we have is by the grace of God. Because we, of all people, should understand we are not self-made. That we don't have what we have because of our own intelligence, because of our own drive, because of our own determination, because of our own skill. We don't look at our job and say, well, I have risen to the level I'm at in my job, and the people have put me in the position I'm in at work because of my great insight, because of my great ability, because I work harder. We say, I am where I am by the grace of God. Everything that I am and all that I have is owed to the grace of God, because we are to be a people who live with a sense of dependency. We're not independent. We are very dependent. Because I don't draw a breath, but that God gives me the grace to draw that breath. That I exist, that I move, that I do anything is by the grace of God. If we really understand that, that goes a long way to making us a grateful people. When we recognize that we are the recipients of His grace, that it is His grace, it is His providential care that gives us all things, then we are grateful. So I want to suggest, as you approach Thanksgiving, that you approach it not just with a grateful heart, but with a heart that is filled with praise. That you don't just give thanks, you sing the praise of your God. And to help us with that, I want us to look at the 145th Psalm. It hopefully is familiar to you because it was our scripture reading this morning in the worship service. It's the passage that I wanted to put in our minds as we thought about Thanksgiving and as we entered into the service. I wanted this to be in the front of our minds because I think it goes a long way in helping us understand the attitude that we're to have. Because as we work our way through it, we're going to discover that a truly grateful heart sings the praise of God's person and His character. A heart that is really genuinely grateful, that really does get it, that really does understand it, is a heart that sings the praise of God's person, who He is, His character, His makeup, and gives Him praise for not only who He is, but for what He does. Now, this is the final psalm of David recorded in the Psalms. And it's an acrostic. Each verse begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse giving praise to God. And it's fitting because David was filled with praise throughout the psalm. So it's fitting that his last psalm would be a psalm of praise. And I want you to notice that what David is praising God for, because it helps us again in understanding how we should approach Thanksgiving. The opening statement's in the first two verses, then a summary down in verse 21, and then there are four stanzas sandwiched between. Notice first the opening statement in verses 1 and 2. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. David begins by acknowledging that Jehovah, that Yahweh, that the covenant God, the God who has entered into relationship with His people, the God who is responsible for delivering them from Egyptian bondage, the God who revealed His truth to them and the covenants, who spoke to them through the prophets, this King, this God that they're in relationship with, is in fact their King, their ruler, their sovereign. And He says, I will extol you, I will exalt you, I will lift your name up. Not only will I exalt, proclaim, and lift up your name, but I will praise you by blessing your name. The word that's translated blessed here means to praise or to salute. It talks about acknowledging the greatness of God. And in both of these verbs, the to extol and to bless, are in the intensive mood. And what that means is this is an intentional, deliberate act on the part of David and those who sing this song. Further, it's ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. It is something that they are determined to do on a continuous basis, time without end. So he says in verse 2, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. So when you take them together, David says, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you every day, not just on the prescribed day. I'm going to be grateful every day, not just on the day that we're told this is the day to be grateful. And I will praise you forever and ever until my life ends and even beyond the grave. Because I'm going to do this forever and ever. Not just your people will, I will give you praise. I will bless your name forever and forever. If this is a settled, daily, intentional attitude that David adopts, and in turn, I think we are to adopt. What we find in this psalm is the response of a grateful heart. Also keep in mind, who is it that's writing this? Who is it that's declaring this? It's David. What is David? He is a king. So this is a king who feels obligated to give praise to God. It is his debt. It's clear as you move through this psalm. David considers this a debt that is owed to God. It's something that he deserves. It's something that is mandated because of the character of God. And so he praises him continuously. What does he praise him for? Well, he praises him for his greatness, for his grace, for his faithfulness, and for his righteousness. First of all, in verse 3 down through verse 7, praise to God for his greatness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. David is specifically praising God for his greatness in the display of his mighty works. He praises God for his works in verse 4, for his acts in verse 4, for his wondrous works in verse 5, and his awesome deeds in verse 6. Have you ever stood outside on a clear night and just looked up to the heavens and considered the vastness of the universe? Have you ever just looked up into the stars? Have you ever been in the mountains and just take in the beauty, the wonder, the majesty of the mountains? Have you ever sailed on the ocean? Have you ever considered the vastness of the ocean? If you've ever done any of those things and it didn't cause you to reflect on the greatness and the glory of the Creator, there's something wrong, and you need to go back and reconsider. When we talk about our God, we're talking about the God who spoke and everything that exists came into being. And when you consider the wonder of the universe, if you've ever stood out during a thunderstorm and witnessed the thunder, the lightning, the wind, if you've ever considered the power of the Creator, it is an awesome thing. And it ought to cause us to give thanks for the marvel, the wonder, the works of our God. Yet as awesome and as wonderful the works of creation are, we as the children of God cannot stop there. But we must go on to consider God's power demonstrated in his saving work. Look at verse 7. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. God's goodness, God's righteousness are best displayed in the work of Christ on our behalf. Neither of these attributes are seen in nature, God's goodness or his righteousness. That's the result of the special revelation that has been given to us as We can consider something of God's power. We can consider something of His majesty by looking at nature and considering that. But His goodness, His righteousness is revealed to us in His Word and ultimately, perfectly, through what Christ did for us at the cross. And so we look back at verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Now, that's not a simple matter of, well, you know, I'm a little ahead of you, so let me tell you and make sure you've got this information so you can pass it on to your kids. It's not the simple matter of one generation telling another generation the basic story. It's not just a matter that we're careful to preserve the Scripture so I can hand a copy of the Bible to those who come after me, as important as that is. But what's implied in the language that David employs here is not just that I pass along the information as I received it, but I pass along that information. I pass along what God has revealed in His Word, the glory of His Word, the wonder of salvation in the person of Christ, and I add to it my own testimony of the grace of God made evident to me. So I have a responsibility to hand down to my children and to my grandchildren and pass on to those who follow, not just the truth of the gospel, but the difference the gospel made in my life and the experience that I've had with the grace of God through the person of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's talking about when he says one generation commends it to another. It's not just the passing on of the story. It is the adding to the story, my own experience, and the truth that has been handed down to extol the greatness of God, declaring the truth of God with our testimony to those who follow after us. A truly grateful heart sings the praise of God's greatness. Second, starting in verse 8 and down through verse 13, we need to add to that the praise of His grace. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Verse 8 clearly echoes how God revealed himself to Moses back in Exodus 34. Earlier, God had revealed himself as I am. Then he described who he was. And here's what we read in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So as we talk of the greatness of God, as we consider then the kindness of God, the grace of God that has been given, and we sing the praise of that, we pass along to the generations that follow us the story of His grace, His mercy, His kindness, the fact that He's slow to anger, the fact that He is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But listen, God goes on in Exodus 34 to say, but who by no means will clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. As we're proclaiming His greatness, as we're singing the praise of His greatness, as we then sing the praise of His grace, we have an obligation to speak the whole truth about God. And if we speak of God's grace apart from His wrath and judgment, we've given an unbalanced picture. To truly understand His grace, we have to also understand His holiness. And so that word is included as God revealed Himself, as God made Himself known. I will by no means clear the guilty. Verse 9 is an extension of his grace. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. This is general grace. God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. And part of our thankfulness is to recognize that God has been good to all of us. God has been good to our families, those who believe, and even those who don't believe. And we ought to give him thanks. We ought to be grateful for what God has done for us as a nation. And we ought to be grateful that in spite of our wickedness as a nation, in spite of the fact that we have spurned him, in spite of the fact that we've turned our back on him, he has not yet destroyed us. And we give thanks because we still exist by the grace of God, by his mercy, by his kindness. So we praise him for his greatness. We praise him for his grace. Then in the latter part of verse 13 through verse 16, we praise him for his faithfulness. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. How does God show his faithfulness? By keeping his promises, by caring for his creation in verse 13. When we fall, he lifts us up, verse 14. When we are bowed down in distress, he restores us, verse 14. When we are hungry, he provides food, verse 15. When we look to him with empty hands, he satisfies us with good things. In other words, the same thing Paul reminded the Philippian church in Philippians 4:19, our God will supply every one of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To say that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory is in keeping with, in proportion to, his riches and glory. In other words, it's not enough to just get by. He doesn't supply because he's got this limited amount of grace and he wants to get us through, but because there is an abundance, his provision is in abundance. So that he supplied our needs today, and he'll supply our needs tomorrow. And whatever our needs are, there is ample provision. And we sing his praise because of his faithfulness. And note the use of the words all and every throughout that whole section. Our God is faithful, and therefore worthy of our praise and worthy of our gratitude. Fourth, we praise him for his righteousness. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. God is gracious. He is merciful, he's faithful, and he is righteous. He is upright and just, responding to those who have need and those who call on him, who are in peril and who seek his salvation. Verse 18 says he hears their prayers. Verse 19 says he saves them. Verse 20, he watches over them. God shows himself to be a good, caring, saving, and preserving God. And then verse 21 is a summary. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145 is an unadulterated psalm of praise, reminding us about the heart, the essence of genuine thankfulness, genuine praise, and genuine worship. The essence of genuine thankfulness is to lose ourselves in celebration of who God is and what He's done for us. So that we praise His greatness, we praise His grace, we praise His faithfulness, and His righteousness. So, in light of all that, when you give thanks this week, what will you be thankful for? Where will your focus be? Far too often, our focus is on what material things has God provided for us this year. Our thankfulness tends to center around, well, got my health, my family's all happy, everyone's got a job, we're grateful. What if you say, well, half of us are out of work, there isn't any money in the bank, my insurance tripled, and who knows what's going to happen with our taxes. But you haven't changed. You are who you've always been, and you have promised us, come hell or high water, no matter what comes, you will be faithful, and you will provide. What's our focus? Is it all about me and what I experience and whether I'm happy? Or is it about the character of God? Is it about His promise? Is it about His faithfulness? As you take time and as you reflect, I beg of you, stop and give thought to the character of your God and the wonder of His person. And you'll have every reason to be thankful. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your grace. And that mercy and grace is so evident when we consider how self-centered and self-righteous we often are. Because whenever we think about what we have to be thankful for, it seems our mind automatically goes to what went right this year, rather than to say, how did God reveal Himself to us this year? In what ways did we come to understand in a deeper and more profound way God's mercy and God's kindness? So that in many respects, Father, the thing we ought to be most grateful for are the hardest and most difficult experiences we've had. Because in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that confusion, we discovered that You really are who You said You were. And You really do what You said You would do. And therefore, we give You praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing. So, Father, this year, give us perspective. Enable us to see with new eyes and experience genuine gratitude and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.